Hey, good morning, everybody. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Yishtavu refuah shleima b'kor b'soy shoch oly Yisrael. So we started discussing yesterday what happens if you forget to omit mashiv oruach. So if you're nusach Ashkenaz, you forgot to say nothing. And if you're nusach Ashkenaz and Eretz Yisrael, you forgot to say morid atol, nusach Sfad, morid atol. So we said that Chachomim were Mashiach, that it takes a month to get used to the new order. From when the time that you start saying Mashiv Baruch or Morid HaGeshem, or the time when you start saying Morid Atol, or you stop saying Mashiv Baruch, Morid HaGeshem, basically, and we'll discuss Miyat Hashem as well, with saying Talamoto, with saying Brocha, but basically it takes 30 days to get used to the new order. And if you've got a Sofik during the first 30 days, then you've got to assume that you would say what you were used to. So there is an Eitzah that's brought down in the poskim, and that is, what would happen if you would do 30 days worth of Azkoros in one go? We discussed that in Eretz Yisrael, in one shul, on Simchas Torah, they sang the Mashiv Aruch, the Chayim Esim HaTorah Avlo Yishia, Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, they sang 100 times, they sang it over and over again. That was the nigun for one of the Hakofas. And they went round and round and round singing B'chayim Eisim Ator Avlo Yishia Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, B'chayim Eisim Ator Avlo Yishia Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem. And they did it over and over again. And that way they'd already been Yotzer, they'd already said it, they'd said the new order, if you like, Mashiv Aruch, which was on Shemin Atzeres, they'd said that already 100 times. So the question is, now could we do the same thing now for Morid Atol? So that means somebody would just sit at home and let's say he wants to say Atogiboy Lelom Hashem, he's not going to say the Shem Hashem, so all he's going to do is start from Mechayim Eisim Ato, and he's going to say Mechayim Eisim Ato Rav Lo Yishia Morid Atol. Mechayim Eisim Ato Rav Lo Yishia Morid Atol. How many times is he going to say it? Well, in the space of 30 days, you've got 3 Shmoneh Esrei a day on a weekday, plus you've got the Musafim of Yom Tov, plus you've got the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. So in the next 30 days, there are various ways of making the cheshbonos, but the Mefarshim talk about saying it 101 times. If you say, yeah, and again, there's discussion whether 90 will do, even in this case, because when we come to discussing the same Talamoto or the same Barucho, there it's only the weekday Shmoneh Esrei 3 times a day. You don't, but in Mashiv Aruach and in Morid Atol, obviously you've got that in every single Shmoneh Esrei. But let's say he does it 101 times. Yeah, if he does it 101 times over, then the halacha will be that after that, if he forgets, or not he forgets, he just doesn't know what he said, he's done through Atokibor and he's got to Atokodosh. We said from the word Atokodosh, he has to go back. So if he's got to Atokodosh and now he doesn't remember what he said, he's got no idea what he said, then we can say that because he said already 101 times, Mechayim Esim Ato Rav Lo Yishia, Morid Atol, therefore, we assume that he now said Morid Atol, and he doesn't have to go back. Question is, what about Nusach Ashkenaz? Can you? It's one thing to say Mechayim Esim Ator Rav Lo Yishia and to be moistiv something. Instead of saying Mashiv Aruach or Morid HaGeshem, I now said Mechayim Esim Ator Rav Lo Yishia Morid Atol 101 times. So I got used to it. I know that Morid Atol follows Lo Yishia now. That's what I'm used to. Question is, those people who don't know Nusach Ashkenaz and Chutz Loretz, who say nothing. Yeah, so what will they be saying? They'll be saying 101 times over, Mechayim Esim Ator Rav Lo Yishia, Mechal Kel Chayim Bechesed, and they won't be adding anything else in. They'll just be going straight from Lo Yishia to Mechal Kel. And there, you get Machloikis already, you get argument between the Poskim as to whether or not a Bet Ashkenaz can do that. Whether or not, it's definitely better, obviously, if a person's saying something positive. He's saying Mechayim Esim Ator Rav Lo Yishia Morid Atol Mechal Kel Chayim Bechesed. So he's got used to saying Morid Atol. You could say, yeah, he got used to saying Rav Lo Yishia Mechal Kel Chayim Bechesed. The word Mechal Kel follows the word Lo Yishia. Logically, that could work. Other people say no, because you know that you've got to add something in there. So therefore, there I'm not sure. There I can't help you if you're Nusach Ashkenaz and you don't say. If you do it 101 times, you've got Yesh Al Mi Lismoich. There are certainly poskim who say that if you said Mechayim Esim Ator Rav Lo Yishia Mechal Kel Chayim 101 times, then you've even got poskim who let you get away with 90. with 90 times. Ben Nusach Sfat, or an Eretz Yisrael Ashkenaz, who says Moed Atol and does it 101 times, then that will do as well. Let's go on to Borech Aleinu. I've got exactly the same thing. Till now I've been saying V'sein Talamot L'Vroch Al Pnei Adoma. Now I'm coming into the summer, and the bogey word is Motar. I mustn't daven, and here I'm praying for rain. Here, the Saint Talamotel of Rocha, Borech Aleinu, is a tefillah. And I'm actually davening for rain, and rain is a simon klola in the summer. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, I need to leave it out. By the way, Agav, it just occurred to me while I was preparing the halacha, why do we change from Geshem in the Azkora to Motor, which we're describing rain? Yeah? So when we're talking about in the Azkora, just a question occurred to me, Rabbi Huda Baruch, yeah? While I was preparing the halacha, we're talking Mashiv Rochel Moed Geshem. Why do we call it Geshem in the Azkora and Motor in the Tefillah? Yeah? Is there any significance in that? I don't know. Later we'll talk about how to do the 101 times in the Saint Talamotel of Rocha, the Saint Brocha, tomorrow, later.
We say
Goshem.
Oh, yes, it's a Goshem as well.
Started out the way northwest London. Third day, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Yud Tes Nissan, 17th of April, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Liebman Shlita. Subject.
Shvi Yishal Pesach.
This week's Torah is sponsored as Chos Refu Shlema. Lechol Chole Yisrael, Lechus Hashem, Vachalim, Melchamo, Shachzul Votem, Lesholom, Vimheiro.
Amen.
Sukkot is quite different to Pesach, many ways. One of the ways is just the feeling of Pesach is different to Sukkot. On Sukkot you feel Yontif. All the way through Yontif you feel there's mitzvahs hayoim, you've got Yeshiva Sukkah, you've got Netilas Lulav, and almost you don't even notice the difference between the first night and the rest of Yontif. You remember, if you remember, the first night you have to have kavana, you have a chiyuv, so if it rains, we notice it. But the fact that you have to eat in the sukkah applies all of Yom Tov. So you don't really feel any difference between the beginning of sukkahs, the end of sukkahs. Pesach, once you finish the first two nights, you don't feel you have to eat matzah. Yeah, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, with the gon, the men rishonim, but there's no chiyuv, there's no bracha of achilas matzah. So you don't really feel that there's anything special happening. It might be even deeper than that, maybe more subtle. On Sukkot, there's a sense that we're going upwards. We've come off Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, then Sukkot, and we're working towards the climax, Simchas Torah. So there's a sense of moving upwards. Yep, from the beginning is less dramatic. The end, Simchas Torah, is going to be the finale of the Yom Neroim, of the Shlosh Regalim. So you feel you're moving upwards. When it comes to Pesach, the big excitements at the beginning, say the night, two storim, then sort of it sometimes sort of fizzles out a bit. The emesis, it ought to be the opposite. Sukkot is a Yom Tov of 7 days. Shmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmo. Follows right after Sukkot, but it's not an integral part of Sukkot. So really, Sukkot doesn't actually have a climax. It's the first day is Kaddish, or 2 days of Chutzaretz, and then it's Chol HaMoed till the end. Shan Rabba maybe helps us recognize that it's a spitz on Shvi'i. Otherwise, with the rites, you wouldn't see anything. Shvi'i Shel Pesach is a Yom Tov. It's a 7 day Yom Tov. The first is Kaddish, the second, the last is Kaddish. There's two Yom Tov in Pesach, but there's only one in Sukkot. Interesting. And we know from the Haggadah that what happened in Shvi'i Shel Pesach was 5 times greater than forever, 10 times greater than what happened in Kriyas Yom Tov. In Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Etzba. And here it's Yad. So there's it's Eser Makas, here it's Chamishim Makas. Plus, Mosayim Chamishim. So there ought to be a Hargosha that we're going upwards. We're moving on in Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Yes, somehow we don't feel that. I'd like to look at why maybe that is. By stopping and thinking about the whole concept of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, of Kriyas Yom Tov, it's really interesting that there's two Shlavim to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim starts as just leaving Mitzrayim, and that's what we celebrate first night. Shvi'i Shel Pesach, there's no mitzvah sayoyim, but that's when Klal Yisrael were over the Yam, and that was the Gemara of the Geula. That's when we said Shira. We said Hallel on Leil Pesach, but Shira, actually saying Shira, was only on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It was the Gemara of the Geula. Interesting, the Geula is split into two stages. The Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. What are those two things? Another aura, very famous aura. We all know, Chazal tell us, that when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a Gevaldig Kitrug. Duma, the Malach of Mitzrayim, was Mekatrug. Very famously, Alolo Evdei Avodah Zorah, V'Alolo Evdei Avodah Zorah. What's the difference between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael? And the kasha is obvious. It's been going on for a long time. It's been over a year of Makkos. It's a year since the Makkos began. And Mitzrayim has taken an absolute... They've been beaten from all sides. They've had 10 Makkos, and there was never a complaint. If Allah lived David Zara, Allah lived David Zara. All of a sudden, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimlem, Chaymo, suddenly there's a Kitrug. So the Besalevi is a Nirudigi Yisid. And he points out the fundamental difference between the Esa Makkos and Kriyas Yamsuf. And to go through Besalevi, we can ask ourselves why that is, and that will lead us on to something that maybe can help us work through the rest of the Yontif. Eser Makkos, said the Besalevi. Eser Makkos. What are Makkos? How do you translate Makkos? They were hit, they were smitten, punishment. They were unshim for Mitzrayim. The Pashta Metzius is that the ones who deserved their unish were the Mitzrayim. Pashtas, there's absolutely no reason for Klal Yisrael to have been punished. You find by Max Becheris, we have to get to that, but before Max Becheris, Pashtas, Mechatesa, Klal Yisrael should be included. The essence of what's taking place in the Eser Makkos is that those Mitzrim, who persecuted Klal Yisrael, Pari and his Avodim refused to listen to HaKadosh Baruch and release Klal Yisrael, they're going to be punished or coerced into letting Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Is there any reason why those Makkos should have affected Klal Yisrael? Mechtes. Once an Oynish, once a Makkah against Mitzrayim, there's absolutely no reason why Klal Yisrael would be included. It would have been a surprise if something even would have been inadvertently affected Klal Yisrael, would have also been a Chiddush. So there you need a special Shmira that the natural effect of the Makkos didn't spread to Klal Yisrael. That when you bring Oriv, it doesn't spread, that the Devet doesn't spread, but Be'etzem, why should Klal Yisrael be included in the Unshim of Klal Yisrael? Of Mitzrayim. That's the Eser Makkos. The Eser Makkos were primarily against Mitzrayim. Makkel Mitzrayim. It turns out that there was a side benefit to Klal Yisrael, that because of the Makkos, they were released, and eventually Klal Yisrael was Yetzel Cheirusoylam, Mikreach the Eser Makkos. But a Makkah, a punishment, is appropriate to somebody who's done something that's wrong. It was a Maisa of Hakol, it was an action of punishment. The Rebbein Shem Kibyochel was B'midas Hadin, punishing Klal Yisrael, and the Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael weren't involved. That's the Eser Makkos. What about Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf of the Besalevi is a completely different setting. Kriyas Yamsuf, you've got Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. You've got the Mitzrayim chasing them. Klal Yisrael are now stuck, Chayinim al Hayam. They can't go any further because the Yamsuf's in their way. When the Ribbono Shel Olam splits the Yamsuf, is he involved in punishing the Mitzrayim or in saving Klal Yisrael? It's saving Klal Yisrael. So just as you had the Shiloh, when he punished the Mitzrayim, should Klal Yisrael be involved? We said, Pashtus not. We have to work out why the Mephoshim all busy. Why by Makkos Bechoris did Klal Yisrael have to put the blood on their doorpost to protect themselves? Mechatesa Klal Yisrael should be involved. In a Makkah, it's a Makkah against Mitzrayim, why should Klal Yisrael be involved? The same question, but opposite, inverse question applies to Kriyas Yamsuf. The Yamsuf was split to save Klal Yisrael. Fine, okay, so Klal Yisrael goes through. Now the Mitzrayim want to go through, the same guy. Should they be involved in Kriyas Yamsuf? Mechatesa. I split the seas of the Ribbono Shel Olam for Klal Yisrael. Why should the Mitzrayim be involved? just as Klal Yisrael aren't involved in the makos, the punishments of Mitzrayim, because they haven't done the averus that Mitzrayim did. They haven't persecuted Klal Yisrael. So too the Hatzolah of Kriyas Yamtov, which is an act of Hatzolah, applies to Klal Yisrael. Mechtes and Mitzrayim should be involved. So as soon as they get in, why should the Yamtov stay split? Goes back, lays on it to its normal condition, and then the Mitzrayim drown. Along with that, the Rebbein Shem already introduces the Midah Keneged Midah, and every Mitzri was punished, Midah Keneged Midah, and every Yid saw every Mitzri being punished. But that's a secondary part of the Kriyas Yam Suf. So to make the Kitrug of Halolo Yivdei Avodah Zarah, Halolo Yivdei Avodah Zarah, wasn't relevant to Mitzrayim. What was it? Who cares whether Yivdei Avodah Zarah or not? Paro is being punished for holding on to Klal Yisrael. So him, Paro, his Avodim, his Am, they all deserve that Oynish. For doing what? For holding on to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael wasn't involved. There's no Halolu for Halolu. It doesn't even begin. But when the Rebbein Shem is going to save Klal Yisrael and split the sea for Klal Yisrael, and the Mitzrayim come and he says, hey, Mechtes, you deserve. Why do they deserve it more than us? Why do Klal Yisrael deserve such a nest that should be done for them, this miraculous putting in the sea, and the Mitzrayim don't? Halonu v'halonu. That's where the Kitruk starts. But still, why was this split into two parts? First, there's the punishment of Mitzrayim, and only then that Tzol of Klal Yisrael. Many Mekoros. But the Shem Shmuel Retzah, we know that the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos. Mimochras HaShabbos, it's mentioned by Sfiris Omer, refers to the first day of Pesach. Why is it called Shabbos? So your dua, Chilik Tzvishen Shabbos and Yom Tov is. Yom Tov we say, Mekadesh Yisroel V'Azmanim. Talking about not just Mekadesh Hazmanim, Mekadesh Yisroel Vazmanim. Why? Because without Yisroel, there are no Zmanim. Without a Beis Din's Keverish Chedesh, there are no Zmanim. If Klal Yisroel didn't keep their calendar, there'd be no Yom Tov. But Shabbos is Kvir Kaima. Shabbos comes from Maisa Bereisha. Shabbos doesn't need anyone to set it. Shabbos is there, Mitzad the Etzim Bria, there's Sheishas Yomim, there's Yom Ashri, as there was by Bereis Shemaim Boris. So you don't need the Klal Yisrael. To say, in Ander Nusach, Shabbos is Yisroel de Leila, and Yom Tov is Yisroel de Lasata. Shabbos comes, Kivyochel, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yom Tov is our Avodah working upwards. Pesach, celebrates also, we didn't have our own schus. We didn't have any schus in bed. We didn't have the schus for Gula. Forever alive, erich misbeseses b'damoyech, dam Pesach, dam Mila was enough to be zoicha, that whatever effects of Makkos Bechiras would have affected us, we're saved from the Makkos of Mitzrayim. But that's it. But to be zoicha ta unnes, that we didn't have a schus. Rashi, by Pasha Kriyas Yam Suf, Rashi by Vayufa Sabotek, there was a niridig schus that Klal Yisrael had. And that was the schus of their munah, that they relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we find three levels of this schus, and together they built up to create the schus that allowed us to have a Kriyas Yam Suf. Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbein Shem couldn't do things for Klal Yisrael. We weren't ready yet. We weren't on the Madrega to have our own Avodah. Later on, through the Avodah that we'd invested, through the Bitochen and the munah of Klal Yisrael, we were zeichet to Kriyas Yam Suf. Kedai, Emunah, Sheminu bi. Leaving Mitzrayim was an incredible act of Emunah. For a person to walk out into a midbar with no provisions, no water, no food. So charti lo chesed no raich avas klul isaich. That ava was the fact that Klal Yisrael kivyochu, like a kala, relied on the chosen. No questions asked. We're with you, Bashefa. Wherever you take us, we'll go. And we rely on you. That's the lech teichach reba midbar, the first shlav. Ah, you don't have parnosa? No, mechop parnosa. Megate, we're with the Rebbein Shem, we'll be fine. The second shlav was v'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei piachiros. They were told to go back, instead of going away from Mitzrayim, turn around and go back towards Mitzrayim. That's a very difficult thing to do. Far more difficult thing to do. You're doing something that not only you don't have parnosa, but you're doing something that actually takes you in the opposite direction of where you want to go. Everything wants you want to go away from Mitzrayim as far as possible. Instead, you're told to turn around and go back, start walking towards Mitzrayim. And the third greatest gilui was Daber Obenei Yisrael V'Yisrael. Tell Klal Yisrael, they see a raging sea, walk right in. That's an Eridius Chus, Nachshem Ben Aminadov. That's the Klal Yisrael, to walk into a raging sea. Shan Eridius Chus. So the Munna B'tochen of Klal Yisrael is what gave us the Kriyas Yamsuf and gave us the Nisim, where the Rebbein Shem Kivyochel does Nisim for us. Getting back to the original question, I was just wondering whether that perhaps is what's really happening on Pesach. It's the Gemara of the same Geula. But instead of having it Kivyochel as a matana from the Rebbein Shleilem, now it's given to us as something we have to earn with our own Avodah. The way the Rebbein Shem is neig with a person is that first he gives them atona, and only then does he expect us to work towards it. The truth is, without a matona, it's very difficult to get to any madriga. Without incredible siyat d'shmaya showing us what we can achieve, difficult to get there. We know that tinek b'hova b'me'imoy is taught kol ha'tera kula. And then the Malach comes and makes him forget the whole thing. So what is the Tachlis? Tachlis is you get back to the sugya. It's a little sense of familiarity. Oh, yeah. Makes sense somehow. It resonates with the neshama. Because you've been there before. If you'd never seen it, it wouldn't be possible to get there. There's that sense, that intuition comes from Yena Klarkeit of the Uba B'meyim. The Rebbein Shem often gives us an aliyah, gives us the ability to be mis'ala, and then he says, okay, now let's see you on your own. There was this fellow who wasn't very good at writing speeches, but he was lucky because he had someone in the office who had a way with words and was always very capable and would write up the speeches beforehand. No references to any other people you might be thinking of, but yeah, there's people who, but they have someone there. Yeah, nowadays they have, yeah. So little reminders, etc. Anyway, he got used to it. He used to reading out these prepared speeches, and you know, the secretary would write them up, and he would get up there and give these wonderful speeches, and he felt grand. Got to the extent that two things happened. First of all, he stopped preparing. Yeah, just read them off. Got used to just reading them off the paper. And the other is he became a little bit ungrateful. Started taking it for granted. It happens. Whenever somebody does us a favor too often, there's a challenge of taking it for granted and being ungrateful. And the secretary was very disturbed. That's not, I'm writing your speeches. You get all the covered, and I just sit in the office writing speeches nobody ever knows. And he gets up there one day, a really important meeting, and he's reading page one, page two, page three, and then all of a sudden, big letters. Now you're on your own. Do you have anything to say? Yep. Ouch. Now you're on your own. Yeah. So the Havdil, here the Rebbein Shem is not leaving us in the lurch. Yeah. But the Havdil, the Rebbein Shem says, I'll give you something to get you going. But then I want to see what you can do on your own. It's all Eicha Timtza. The Moshel Shem Shmuel gives us beautiful. Person's stuck. Person's financially can't manage. He's not managing to make a parnos. So he goes to somebody for help. There's two things you can do. Either you can give him stocker. Very nice. Kvalde Yechesed. Looks like you're very kind. You gave away whatever it is, £50,000. You gave this fellow kvalde. There's a greater chesed than that. That's to give him a loan, to help him to stand on his own feet. He'll invest that money. It doesn't seem like such a chesed. He's got to pay it back. But really, it's giving him the opportunity to build himself. So if a smart man gets a loan, might be a big loan, might be £500,000, £2 million to set something up. There's a little bit of an issue. A person can be foolish and short-sighted. Say, oh, sure, there's £2 million in the bank. I don't need to worry. We've seen it happen. And he borrows the money to bet, but then once you've got the money, so the pressure's off, so he pushes it off, doesn't quite get round to it. That's not smart, because eventually you have to pay it back. Because with any seichel, invest, and then he'll take and make money, and be able to pay back that money, pay back the karen, and he'll have his own business out of his own ability. Give yochels at the after. First of all, every bracha the Rebbein Shem gives us, we have to remember it's just a loan. It's given to us to produce mice and tovim with it. It's not a gift stamp. It's there as a loan to see what we're going to do with it. But madrigas, a person has a certain clarity in learning. A person has the ability to daven. Sometimes it's a matnas elokim. The Remez, Shlomo Eliyahu said, "Al toimei mahoyo." Don't look back and say that yomim arishin toivim meila. That those days were the good old days. It wasn't. Good old days. It's not shat. You had these wonderful madrigas, and now you can't understand what shal tells it. It was just a shayla. It was just lent to you. You were just borrowing that madriga. The Rebbein Shem sometimes gives a person a boost, and then there's a drop. Says that's pshat in Algeria at Tzedek. We asked for special siyat d'shmaya for the gerim. Says what's the special siyat d'shmaya? Says when a person's miskaya. It's coming from a world, there's no sheikhs, different world, coming, entering Klal Yisrael. It's impossible to take on the mitzvahs, the minhagim, the culture. It's too much. The Rebbein Shem gives an erudiga siyat d'shmaya at the beginning. But that only lasts for the first period, however long it is, might be years. But after that, the Rebbein Shem says, no, okay, I've given you enough, now it's time for you to do it on your own. That point at which suddenly there's a drop in siyat d'shmaya, that's very challenging and needs a special tefillah that they should be matzliach to overcome that challenge. But we all have it. Sometimes you get a special chavrusa, special opportunity, and it seems, oh, I'm doing so well, I'm learning so well. And then the chavrusa goes, oh, sure, no, boy, what do you expect me to do now? That was just a matona. That was a loan for you to invest. And if we use the opportunity correctly, we develop our own skills, and then when we lose that wonderful chavrusa, we can do it on our own. A klokait in tefillah, a strength of emunah. Often we're given a matana, we have to take that, use that, build that. The first day of Pesach is a Shabbos. It's a shrusa delayla, it's a matnas alikim. There's a madriga, there's a clock at the second half of the Seder. Person chaps feels a kesher to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Rebbein Shem says, now, let's you work on it. I want to get Shvishal Pesach, where you work on it. I want you to take those mentes madrigas. Rebbein Shem took us out of mentes Shari Tumah and took us out of Mitzrayim. It's very good. That's his Rebbein Shem, that was my work. Now let's see what you can do, counting the memtes of your own avodah, you may ask Svira. This is Shrusa de Leila, Shrusa de Tata. And one of the areas that we can certainly work on over the Yemei Pesach is the Sugya Bitochen. It may be that the reason why we don't have this feeling of working upwards on Pesach like we do on Sukkahs is because on Sukkot there's something new happening. There's Simchas Torah, there's in the Ulam HaMaisa, in the Ulam HaChitzoin, something new is happening. Pesach, it's the same thing as the first night. Same Avodah as Leil Roshona. But now it's an Avodah Pnimis of doing it ourselves. And that is harder to feel. It's only in the Ulam Pnimi, only in the Ulam Avodah that we feel this. We don't do anything LaMaisa on Shlishah Pesach. Yeah, there's Menhagim, different Menhagim, what people do on Shlishah Pesach. But in Halacha, nothing changes Shvish HaPesach. It's only the Kriyas HaTorah. There's no Maisa that we do. It's internal. It's working on Bitochen and making it real to ourselves. So maybe just take three Nakudas. Just three Nakudas that are the Maisa. But I'll tie them back to the three Avodas of Klal Yisrael B'Shaita. Leaving Mitzrayim without any food. Then going back towards Piachiris, which is harder, doing something that seems negative. And finally, walking into Abba B'nai Yisrael, so Bitochen is something that is negea to every aspect of our lives. The rhythm, the flow, the aliyah of a person is dictated so much on the avodah of Bitochen. A person takes a few minutes a day to mizbein, to learn the sugya bitochen, the nyonim of bitochen, to mizbein how it affects his life, will find everything changes. It takes three simple areas where it's so nagea. First is pashut. We don't have time. It'll take learning, but we often don't have time for mitzvahs. We don't have time for the family. We just don't have time. Now, we all know that's nonsense, right? Someone says, I don't have time. What does he mean? What's the English translation of that? Turn it into a real sentence. I don't have time is shorthand for something. I don't have time means I have other priorities. I put other things first. Now, there are those, it might not be true for everybody. If you know somebody who literally has nothing to eat, and therefore has to just work morning, noon, night, doesn't have a moment in his day, otherwise they'd starve to death. I'm not talking about that person. But everybody else does have some time. And the question is, what we're going to do with it? What's more important? Is that extra bit of parnassah important, because I have to buy a couch, make an extension, get a new car? Or is it more important that I study and learn it, that I took chesed? It's all a question of priorities. It's those things I don't have time. It's I've used up my time on other things. My time is limited. I have other priorities. When we have an yisoyin of spending more time at work, and it's never been more difficult, never been more challenging. It used to be, the question was, would you stay, would you not stay? Are you going to leave the office at 5, or are you going to stay longer? Now who's talking about 5 o'clock for 5 o'clock? Alavai, people leaving at 5 o'clock. And the problem is most people never leave. What's the difference if you leave the office, or the office leaves you? It's going to have to come in there. You can work from home. There's a yom of a lila, people are kosher to work. So there's always the nisayon of doing a little bit more for parnos. Another email, another message. Parnosa kum pashefa. We can walk out of Mitzrayim, we can go with the revenge, we can follow Moshe Rabbeinu, or we can choose to worry about, but not worrying about parnosa is the first target of bitochen. Simplest, most straightforward target of bitochen. Leave parnosa revenge, yes, ishtaglus. 100%, like every other mitzvah in the Torah. But when we get to stage, yoitzah, I've got my matzahs, I've got my arba minim, yoitzah, got a fine set, it's good enough for me. So we can do that with, as soon as we reach the level where we yoitzah, we all know when yoitzah mishtadlis. That little bit extra, sometimes there's a requirement that we do something that feels like we're taking risks and we're losing out. Used to be Shabbos, yeah, 80 years ago, 100 years ago. Big Nisayon was Shabbos, Shemir Shabbos was difficult. And the revenge of Rachmanos and Stam and the Schus of all those people who made Nefesh for Shabbos. And it changed the world. There's a 5-day week. Very few people have the Nisayon of losing their job because of Shabbos. It's very rare. And if there is, there'll be some tribunal and they'll fight it. But we still have a little bit of Nisayon. Erev Shabbos, how early we stop. Again, the world has changed. We're faced with real, real challenges. It's very, very difficult to switch off. You know, it's not a question of when you leave work anymore. It's when work leaves you. When do we switch off? Switch off our mobiles. Switch off the phone. Switch off the computer. When do we leave? When do we stop? To stop a little bit early. We have to go right into Shabbos Mamush. Mitim bein ha-shmoshes. Ve'ichal le'ikim ba'yoyim ha-shviv. The covenant of Shabbos is stop earlier. Stop a chatzais is shtin shlag kodesh. Do we have to resume and leave Shabbos the moment Shabbos is over? Like the addict back to his cigarette? Now we don't smoke, so now we're addicts back to the phone. What would happen if we didn't what would happen if we switched it off at chatzais on Friday? Didn't switch it off until an hour after Shabbos? The same is so. It's difficult. Because we're going backwards. So we're going back to Vienna. That's an issue. It's bitochen. How much a person keeps the phone with him is a question of bitochen. People who take the phone into learning are different to those who don't. I'm not talking about those who take it into davening. Shtirish is talis tefillin and is. It's bad if we can leave it outside, leave it at home, put it on flight mode, disconnect. We're much better. Who knows? Who knows? Unless you're an emergency doctor, a surgeon, an oncologist who's got patients on call, chances are there's no life and death emergencies during that hour of Shacharis or during Mincha Ma'ariv session. But it's hard for us. That's bitochen. If it's meant to be okay, it'll be okay. It's not my ishtadlus. to leave my phone on 24/7. Surely. Surely. I'm not talking about you, doctor. Yeah. Everybody else. No, I just understand. Yeah. And maybe the last point to be talking, in a way the hardest. We're sometimes faced with matzavim, where life doesn't go the way we thought it was going to go. We don't say that. We don't say life isn't going the way we thought it was going to go. We say life's not going the way it was meant to go. Things have gone wrong. You ever heard that? Probably not. You've not heard it from Yid saying that, have you? Would we say just things have gone wrong? It didn't go wrong. But the emotions make mistakes. They've gone differently to the way we planned. I had expectations that I'd be somewhere else. I had expectations that my children would turn out a certain way. I had expectation that they'd be offered certain places or positions in schools and wherever, yeshivas or sems, or I expected certain shidduch would work out. It went wrong. No, it went right. But it's not what I thought, not what I hoped. And to move with it and say, if that's what the Rebbe Shem wants, I'll go. So this is where we'll go. Sometimes it seems like we're walking into a raging yamsuf. But Dabir of Bnei Yisrael V'Yisov, it's not Peshav Shattas, it's Derech Tachas, Derech Remes, to keep going, Dabir of Bnei Yisrael V'Yisov, understanding that the reason why we're in this situation is because the Rebbein Shalom knows that this neshama was put into this world to achieve something, and the only way this neshama can achieve what it has to achieve is with these challenges, with this nisyonos, with this Yeridus HaMadrega, with this Shvala Madrega, with these that's what we're here for. Dabir of Bnei Yisrael V'Yisov. As we go through the last few days of Yom Tov, certainly as we enter Shvi'i Pesach, Shish Pesach Drabanon, Avachru Shal Pesach, to think a little bit, to explain a little bit of what life looks like when the light of Bitochen is shone upon it, can change completely our whole attitude to our Avodah, certainly to our Parnassah, to our Torah, to Shabbos Kedesh, and to accepting the Sienas with Simcha V'Tov Levav of Yom Tov.
Sorry about my voice.